Blog Talk Radio.
Salesman talking to me, trying to run me up a so you can buy it, go and try it, you can pay me next week. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Blonde haired, good looking, trying to get me hooked, want me to marry, settle down and get a home and write a book. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in. Pay phone, something wrong, dime gone, will me order, sue the operator for telling me a tale. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business. Too much monkey business for me to be involved in.
Monkey business, indeed. James Bostic here, conservative perspective on the Patriot Nation radio. Sometimes I forget. The Patriot Nation radio show here at Blog Talk Radio. We do it live, invariably, Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Holy cats. We have a recorded version of the show on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, my friends, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio you're going to find out there, with the exception of the outstanding programming that we have here. El Guapo is going to be with us tonight with Patriot Nation Radio Live on Wednesdays. Kevin White, the black guy, with I just love saying that, man. He's an awesome dude. With the United Allegiance program, you want to talk about a steely-eyed young radio man? There he is, and he is killing it every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And let's see what – United Patriots Uprising, our pal Gary Benford out there on his own, the big gun, the Lone Ranger, every – I think it was Tuesdays. Anyway, yeah, and you can find him on Spreaker and all the platforms, so you can listen to his archive format. United Patriots Uprising with our pal Gary Benford, a steely-eyed killer. Okay, well, like I said in the teaser, the State of the Union was 2 days ago, and by and large, unless it's a very dynamic speech and speaker, they're pretty much forgotten within a few days, and Joe Biden's State of the Union address is no exception. It is, you know, in terms of news impact or anything in the cycle beyond picking it apart for the malapropisms and the out-and-out lies, it's almost forgotten. But before that horse finally, thankfully, dies, I'm going to beat on it one last time. Where in the hell do I start? Oh, God. Joseph Klein at Front Page Magazine, which if you ever go to frontpagemag.com, congratulations. You've done yourself one of the smartest intellectual, politically informed favors you could do for yourself. Just working on a couple of things here. It's all good. And we have a couple people's takes on it. President Joe, let's just go ahead and hit this with Joe Klein. Joe Biden delivered his first State of the Union address on March 1st. The president's speech filled with sound bites, basically, that could have been taken from focus groups and polls. He squandered a primetime opportunity, an opportunity to level with the American people about the abysmal state of the Union that his progressive policies have brought about. He could have presented pragmatic proposals to turn things around. Instead, aside from sound bites, presumably intended for the ears of independents and Republicans, Biden praised his failed policies and offered fundamentally a repackaging of more of the same. For example, Biden said that we need to secure the border and fix the immigration system. Yeah, that Joe Biden. We need to secure the border and fix the immigration system. Even Texas's Republican Senator Ted Cruz, who was seen nodding off from boredom during the speech, as I think maybe the president himself did, everybody stood up for that line. However, Biden failed to acknowledge how his open border policies have blown a huge hole in border security. The president offered no real fixes that would reverse the record flood of illegal immigrants into the United States. And he tried rhetorically to distance himself from his radical base's defund the police movement. The answer is not to defund the police, he said. The answer is to fund the police with the resources and training they need to protect our communities. Not a joke. This is a nice applause line, except the president has not dialed back on his administration's hostility to law enforcement. In fact, Biden's Justice Department is hamstringing effective law enforcement with renewed investigations into a number of police agencies. It is seeking to force police departments to adopt self-defeating restrictions on how the police can keep people safe. Biden also had a chance to repudiate the left's no cash bail policies in Democrat-run cities across the country that have let loose violent criminals to terrorize innocent people on the streets, but he failed to do so. Relax, just getting a drink of Kool-Aid, everything's fine. The president seemed to channel former President Donald Trump's America First policies when he promoted Made in America products, yet he failed to reverse his Green New Deal agenda that has returned America to the energy dependence on oil imports from other countries, including Russia. Right now, as we speak, and everybody in America is all virtue signaling for the Ukrainians and hating on Putin and hating on Russia, the United States spends $70 million a day buying Russian oil. Every day. $70 million. Yesterday, $70 million. Today, $70 million. Tomorrow, $70 million. Saturday, Sunday, $70 million. $70 million. Monday, $70 million. 2 weeks ago, $70 million. Every damn day. So, every single day that Biden refuses to cut off U.S. imports of oil from Russia has been another day in which Biden has helped to fund Vladimir Putin's brutal invasion of Ukraine and his slaughter of Ukrainian civilians. Canada has announced an end to its imports of Russian oil, but not Joe Biden. I'm sorry, I'm having a flashback. I'm reliving listening to this. If you watched it, you saw firsthand evidence of just how far this cat has slid, has degraded since the summer before the campaign. 1 year in office. And if you haven't watched it, steel yourself to the task. And at least get in 20 minutes. That's probably enough for anybody. and you'll see. I was exhausted on Tuesday night. As a matter of fact, I was in bed before Joe Biden, if you can believe that. And I listened to it. I hooked up on C-SPAN on YouTube there with my device, and I listened. He sounded tired. He sounded as though he hadn't rehearsed this speech. And I'm sure he has. I'm sure they've been drilling the hell out of him. That's why it's so late. They've been working him over with this thing. He sounded frail. My impression of the guy who was speaking, and of course, that's always prejudiced by the fact that, I see him, and I see how frail he is, and I'm aware of his cognitive decline and his physical decline daily. I mean, in the beginning, the love that dare not speak its name. It's like, he was gay and we couldn't say anything about it, even though it was obvious to everybody, like Liberace. But we can't say anything because, what are you, some kind of racist, some kind of homophobe? No, we can't even acknowledge it. Okay, that's how bad it is. And for many, many months, all through the campaign, they were able to pull this off. But it is, as I have predicted, and I think within the next year and a half, maybe two, he's going to hit that wall. The medicine that he takes, the cognitive enhancers, whatever nootropic cocktail they have him on to try and keep him functioning, it's not going to work. It's not going to be able to stave off his dementia anymore. His handlers won't be able to fool anyone. Our enemies are already wise to this, and they are emboldened and encouraged in their plans against us. And more Americans are becoming hep to the fact that he is in an alarming state of cognitive decline. And if, the 50 years that he spent prior to this, the half century of corruption and fundamentally being on the wrong side of every single solitary issue concerning the United States, either foreign or domestically, he is certainly, that notwithstanding, he's in no way fit to serve as president in his current state. But there he is. There he was. Mumbling, bumbling, stumbling through an hour's worth of alphabet soup and platitudes and the same old worn-out cliched jingos. It was all very jingoistic. He yelled, he whispered. He raised his hands like a dictator, like Mussolini, and it just... Vladimir Putin watched the State of the Union. He may not have watched it real time, but he's watched it. Xi Jinping watched the State of the Union. Ayatollah Khamenei, yes, watched the State of the Union. Little Rocket Man Kim Jong-un, he watched the State of the Union. Little Rocket Man, yeah, we're having a good time. They all know. And the only people not admitting it are those people, that cabal of handlers that are working the Biden family through Joe, and I guarantee you they're keeping a tight lid on everybody else. They're watching very closely what everyone else is doing. And while they may not stand in the way or interfere with any crooked deals that have been made with China, and some of these guys have probably got their own deals, all right? And we're going back. We're going to be going back and visiting Pete Schweizer's book, Red Handed. There's a lot more to talk about. We just got to get through this crap here. Next Tuesday, we'll hit it again. Everyone says, and we talked about this on Tuesday, that you know, there's a 40-mile column of armor and armored vehicles and troop carriers and mechanized infantry and weaponry slowly encircling Kiev, capital of Ukraine. And I brought this up on Tuesday night. And I know, I think, it's all, can you tell I've moved on to Vladimir Putin and what's going on in Russia? Okay, yeah, well, we did. That was, we'll probably come back to that idiot Joe. But anyway, this is day five, day six. He's been in the country that almost a week. Now, ostensibly, they say that this convoy, this 40-mile column, hasn't pounced, hasn't put a ring of iron and steel around Kiev and then brought their air forces and their artillery units to bear and decimated the city and laid waste to it. Every day's delay. And I, there may be some grand strategy here. There may not be. There are people. There are people that say this is going to fail. And one of the reasons it's going to fail is because this much vaunted Russian military and Russian military capability isn't really all that. They're conscripted soldiers. They're poorly trained. Ostensibly, this column around Kiev, heading towards Kiev, is stopped because they're trying to feed the troops. Feed the troops. Those guys have been stationed along that border in Ukraine for years. Okay, they're hardened, dug-in military installations. They have kitchens. They have cooks. They have field kitchens. They have individual rations. Now, he may be waiting, biding his time to see if this can be negotiated and be fundamentally a bloodless coup. That's easy for me to say, but then I talk, you know, for a living. Don't try that at home, kids. And obviously there's some element to Putin's grand design here that I'm not seeing or don't fully understand, but it would seem to me, again, this is costing him tens of millions, maybe billions, every day. And I'm pretty sure that Putin doesn't give a tinker's damn for any external sanctions. No sanction that would really truly hurt him is going to be put in place. They talk about this SWIFT thing, this SWIFT banking thing, to where they have frozen certain banking services inside Russia. He doesn't care. He'll still be able to buy whatever he wants. They're kicking Russian teams out of sports, international sports bodies. Big deal. We'll just have Russians play each other. It'll be better. But he's going to have to move, and he's going to have to move really soon. And I don't understand why it's taken this long. All the elements are there. Those, you know, the air support, the airstrikes, the artillery, all that stuff is just minutes away. I don't understand. And he has probably had, you know, the tactical side of this sewed up for a long, long time. This is not a spur of the moment thing. This is deliberate. This is planning. But I still don't know. You've got to strike hard. You have to strike quickly. The Ukrainians are, you know, as prepared as they can be defensively, I guess. But had he moved within those first couple of days, they wouldn't have had this time. The alcohol distillery companies, you know, they're stopping production of their product to make Molotov cocktails. If it happens, I still don't know if it will. Days go by and nothing goes on. And then who knows, maybe later tonight, very, very early in the morning, because that's when they like to run these type of operations, then the Russians move in. I don't know. But they haven't within 6 days. And I simply just do not understand the delay. This thing could have been over by now. And you know, Biden would be paying lip service to the fact that the invasion was successful and cursing the Russians and saying, you know, and all the Hollywood types after, you know, virtue signaling for the Ukrainian people as, you know, they're getting run over by tank treads and being assassinated, executed, mass graves. You don't think that stuff would happen if it actually turns, if it goes down, that's exactly what will happen. Tens, hundreds of thousands of people will die, will be murdered. And I'm not talking about military personnel. I'm talking about civilian casualties and fatalities. People will be disappeared. And he won't stop till every single opposing voice is silenced. That every sword drawn against him isn't broken and thrown to the ground. But at the same time, I don't understand why the wait. It doesn't make sense to me. There's a guy named Douglas McGregor, Colonel Douglas McGregor, military advisor and an analyst who is extremely familiar with what's going on in this part of the country. Let me see if I can find it. McGregor. So that's going to be... that's going to be under, well, some, let's see, McGregor. Should be under C for Colonel. Ah, yep, sure enough, there it is. Colonel McGregor, okay. All right. This is a little bit long clip. It's about 7 minutes. This is from the other night with Tucker Carlson. See what you think.
On in Ukraine, and we're honored to do that. Doug McGregor, thank you for joining us.
Sure.
So the first question is, where are we now? We keep hearing these reports about a Russian convoy coming into the capital city, et cetera, et cetera. But big picture, where is the war as of tonight?
Well, the first 5 days, we witnessed a very slow, methodical movement of Russian forces into eastern Ukraine. That is Ukraine, the third of Ukraine, which is on the eastern side of this river called the Dnieper. They moved slowly, cautiously. They tried to reduce casualties among the civilian population, tried to give as many Ukrainian troops and forces as possible the opportunity to give up, to surrender. That is over. And the phase in which we find ourselves now, Russian forces have now maneuvered to encircle and surround the remaining Ukrainian forces and destroy them through a series of massive rocket artillery strikes, air strikes, with Russian armor then slowly but surely closing the distance and annihilating what's left. So this is the beginning, frankly, of the end of Ukrainian resistance.
So the ugly stuff is just beginning.
Yes.
Okay. So this is a question you don't often hear asked, but it's essential to our welfare here in the United States, to our strategic thinking about this. What is Putin's goal here? What's his aim?
Well, I think Vladimir Putin set out to honor his word of 2007. 2007 at the Munich Security Conference, he said, we will not tolerate the expansion of NATO into a point where your NATO, your border, is touching Russia, specifically Ukraine and Georgia. We see these as essentially Trojan horses for NATO's military power and U.S. influence, subversion, and so forth. He then turned to several opportunities to reinforce that over and over and over again, most recently with President Biden, in the hopes that he could avoid taking action to effectively clean out eastern Ukraine of any opposition forces whatsoever, and to put his forces in a position vis-a-vis NATO to deter us from any further attempts to influence or change Ukraine into effectively a platform for the projection of U.S. and Western power into Russia. Now, his goal, as we see it at the moment, is to seize this entire area of eastern Ukraine. That's pretty clear. He's going to roll up to that river up near Kiev. He has actually moved over the river and is preparing to go in and capture that city entirely. At that point, he has to decide what else he wants to do. I don't think he wants to go any further west. I think he'd be very satisfied to hold that point. But he would like whatever emerges from this that we call Ukraine, whether it's just the western side or it encompasses some of the east and the west of Ukraine, to be neutral, non-aligned, and preferably friendly to Moscow. That he will accept. Anything short of that, his war has been a waste of time.
How should the United States respond at this point?
Well, I think President Biden and Sullivan, his national security advisor, have already given some indication of their readiness to accept something like that. They're not going to have any choice. Either they accept it, or then they put him in the position of having to do more than he would like to do, which would probably not go down well with NATO. No one really wants Russian forces on their border, least of all Poland.
Right.
So I think Sullivan and Biden will essentially tell Zelensky, if he is still the president at that point, and if he's still running any semblance of the Ukrainian government, which is largely collapsing now, if he is still there, he's going to be told, accept the deal, go neutral, because there really is no choice.
You are hearing elements in the United States Congress, it's almost unanimous in the media, calling on the Biden administration to enforce a so-called no-fly zone over Ukraine. What would be the effect of that?
Well, you'd end up at war with Russia, because the Russians are not going to allow Western aircraft, U.S. aircraft, flying over the battlefield in eastern Ukraine under any circumstances. As Stoltenberg, the Secretary General of NATO, flew to Poland to stop the Poles from essentially offering MiG-29 aircraft that were improved and modernized to the Ukrainians, allowing their pilots to come to Poland, fly these into Ukraine. He put a stop to it, saying that anything like that could lead to war, and NATO will not go to war. And see, this is the interesting part. Now everyone is talking about spending lots of money on defense and lots of money for NATO, but very shortly people are going to begin to ask why. Why are we doing? Because it's patently obvious that NATO is not in a position to fight, not in a position to challenge the Russians. So I think Mr. Biden's problem tonight is not just his narrative is going to break down very rapidly over the next few days as it becomes obvious that this whole Ukraine business was a fantasy on his part. He's going to end up trying to write checks that he can't cash, because we can't afford a massive military. We can't afford to put more forces forward. And if we try to do it, it'll be self-defeating. So I think we're in a real crisis now that no one has really figured out yet, and that is NATO itself and our position on the European continent. All of this is now at risk.
I think a lot of people were taken by surprise by this invasion. I'll admit that I was also, not that, of course, we're experts on Eastern Europe. But the president and his team had said for weeks, in effect, we've got this under control. We have applied enough pressure on the Russians that it would be very unwise for them to do this. That was a massive miscalculation, obviously. How did they screw up?
Well, two things. I think that Mr. Putin has priced in the cost. In other words, he's not a fool. He sat down with Xi in Beijing and made it very clear what he was going to do, what his goals were in eastern Ukraine, and only eastern Ukraine initially. And I think he got the conditions he wanted from Xi of support and assistance through this process, because he knew what we would try to do to him. We would try to destroy Russia financially, economically, in whatever way we could.
So we just created a real alliance between Russia and China, or in any effect there now is one.
Oh, there's a real strategic partnership. There's no question about it. Because China needs Russia in order to secure Central Asia and all the routes to Europe. China wants to do business with Europe. That's why the Chinese would like Mr. Putin to end this quickly. But Putin insisted on those first 5 days slowing things down, because he wanted to minimize damage to property and he wanted to minimize the loss of life, particularly in the population that he was trying to bring into, effectively, a new Ukraine that is Russian. He's essentially discarded that now.
So I just want to be absolutely clear on this point, because a lot hangs on it. So many of our leaders are beholden to Russia, have gotten rich from Russia, Joe Biden's family, Nancy Pelosi's family, pick one, they all have.
Yes.
Putin would not have been able to do what he did, invade Ukraine, without the support of China. Sounds like what you're saying.
I think that's absolutely true. If China had not reassured him, we will stay the course with you, I doubt seriously that he would be doing this now.
So since everyone is in moral outrage mode and screaming the F word at each other on Twitter, I wonder why China's not included in their outrage.
Well, that's an important question that deserves a great answer, but I'm going to let you take that one on. I'm not going to go there tonight.
Doug McGregor.
Well, the answer to that is that sweet, sweet, sweet commie cash. Look at the NBA. Look at Disney. Look at any company, corporation, media outlet, brand, whatever you want to call it, that does business with and in China. It is not coincidental. It is not happenstance. It is intentional. Chinese intelligence services went about assiduously studying American politics, our Constitution. And through those studies, through that research, they developed just one facet of their study. Unrestricted warfare. People read it. It's only a couple hundred pages long. It was written about 20 years ago by a couple of PRC Army colonels, People's Republic. Army China, People's Republic of China. They wrote it, and it's warfare that is not simply restricted to the battlefield. It's not warfare conducted solely with submarines and destroyers and bombers and fighters and infantry units and artillery units. It's warfare on a media level, on a news level, an information level, on a political level, on a social level, on a cultural level, on an intellectual level. Look how deeply the Chinese have entrenched themselves in our college and university system. Oh. When you wonder why the kids come out of college today, turn out the way they do? I don't. And China has succeeded in a, you know, from a public relations facet, from a social media facet, where the Russians have failed. Now, I think there's a misnomer some of these guys haven't talked about, and I'm going to pop on it here. The Soviet Union, as it existed when Vladimir Putin was a young KGB colonel 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 45 years ago, is not the same thing as the country of Russia. No, 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 no. Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, Poland, Ukraine, Crimea, Georgia. I'm trying to think if they went any further east. To East Germany. To Trieste in the Baltic, an iron curtain descended over Central and Eastern Europe. Six nations, vassal states, whatever you want to call them, able to supply the Kremlin with the necessary manpower and resources to engage in prolonged military conflict. That being said, it doesn't mean that Russia's military capabilities are inferior. They may be smaller, but their army outnumbers the Ukrainian army by, I think, 4.5 times. So if nothing else, they got a lot of guys, and they could just use them in, you know, an endless run of bonsai charges until there weren't any more Ukrainian guys left to kill all the Russian guys and move in that way. That would be pretty expensive. But you know what? It's been pretty damn expensive right now. And according to Colonel McGregor, and that's the second time I've listened to it, and it makes sense. But at the same time, I just don't know that Putin is as sure of his hand as everyone in the West thinks he is. Now, this is coming from a guy who said, they're not even going to invade. What are we even talking about? All right. Okay. I missed that one totally, too. And I could be completely off base with this one as well. But looking at the situation, reading the things that I read, and looking at the places I've looked at, and one of the really cool things about doing this, honestly, whether I get paid or not, is it has given me the interview, the ability to interview and, in some cases, cultivate relationships with some really smart people. I haven't had him on in a long time, but Trevor Loudon is overdoing. You know about Claire Lopez. She's wonderful. And of course, the man who needs no introduction but insists on one anyway, Michael Cutler. Okay, there's some smart cats out there, and it has been my privilege to have been exposed to them, to be able to talk to them, more importantly, be able to listen to them pointedly. And for me, it's been like a master's course in the world, maybe even a doctoral course in the world. And I listen to these people and I pay attention to them and I look at their records, and these are knowledgeable, experienced people in their fields. And, you know, you may not have heard of them, but believe me, these cats rarely miss the mark. I just don't know. I just don't know. I was hoping we could get Claire Lopez on for tonight, but it was such short notice, it's virtually impossible, because these people now, that all this stuff's going on and has been, all these different things have been happening. Michael Cutler, Mike, is a superstar once again, maybe even bigger than he was when it comes to the issue of immigration, because everybody in the country now, you know, is aware to varying degrees of just how serious the issue at the southern border is. Just how damaging the Biden administration's policies as they pertain to immigration, illegal and otherwise, hurt this country. So Mike Starr is in the ascendant, so is Claire, so is Trevor Loudon's, because all these things that they've talked about over the last few years have been, you know, they're right. They're true. It took a long time for it to play out, but these people had the vision and the understanding of what was going on to call and make that call, and they made it spot on. I just don't understand why it hasn't happened yet. And I think, and overall, I agree with what Colonel McGregor says here. You know, he's wanting, there is a media angle here. There is a narrative perspective, facet, if you want to, on this. And Putin understands that, and I think he's wanting to try and make this as bloodless as possible, just like McGregor said. However, wouldn't have just steamrolling through there in 2 or 3 days done the same thing? Yeah, there would have been civilian casualties, and if it cuts loose, there will be civilian casualties. Rest assured, there will be civilian casualties. And at this stage in the game, as I said, you know, the Ukrainian people are dug in. They're prepared to defend, and they're prepared to die. And it's not just talk. It's not just posturing with those people. You know, like I said, one of the hooch companies over there quit making booze and is churning out Molotov cocktails. The label on them reads, Putin is a dickhead. Yes. Bravado, yeah, probably a little bit. But these people, like I said, they're dug in. The ones who have stayed, there are about 1 million refugees that have gone, I think, through Poland. And I'm not looking at the map, so I can't tell. Poland is to the west. Anyway, you know, there's been 1 million refugees bug out. The people who are staying, I would say there are probably some who can't get out, probably some who don't want to leave, won't leave, and they're there to fight, and they're going to fight. And they're going to get killed, a lot of them, if this thing plays out. Because once that mechanism, you know, once you engage that mechanism, it's practically impossible to recall it once the shooting starts. And once the shooting starts, then it just becomes a question of the level of restraint that's going to be exercised by the communists. Remember, Vladimir Putin's a KGB guy. Don't let that suit fool you. He probably still has his uniform. He was a colonel in the KGB. I'll tell you what, we're running a little bit. Let's go ahead and take a break. I'm going to play a song or two and rethink what else we're going to talk about. I am late. I ran 15 minutes over. Anyway, we will be back with more of Conservatives' Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here on blogtalkradio.com. And I'm just kind of like scrolling through here. A lot of Fauci crap. I got to clean up my clip. I got to clean up the clip bank. There is a boatload of crap here that's got to go. And it will go. So we'll be back with more Conservative Perspective right after this.
Excuse me. Have you ever been in Schenectady?
No. I've never been in Schenectady.
Neither have I. Must have been a couple other guys.
From Russia with love, I fly to you. Much wiser since my goodbye to you. I've traveled the world to learn I must return from Russia with love. I've seen places, faces, and smiled for a moment, but oh, you haunted me so. Still my tongue tied, young pride would not let my love for you show. In case you'd say no, to Russia I flew, but there a man I suddenly knew you'd care again. My running around is through. I fly to you from Russia with
And we're back. My name is Bostic, James Bostic, and this is a conservative perspective. And I was just scrolling through the music like I always do, you know, BSing with you cats, so I find something I want to hear. And it just there it was, From Russia With Love. I had to do it. We have a few minutes left, and I'm still chewing on this whole, you know, this whole thing, really, very Russian. But case in point, what I was talking about earlier, one of the points I was trying to illustrate earlier. All right, the Soviet Union was so huge, so big, so humongous, so ominous and intimidating in the mojo that it threw off, that its imprint was felt on cultures all the way around the world. I mean, they were such a huge bad guy that they were the bad guy in James Bond movies. That's how big a bad guy the Soviet Union was. Hell, man, they were like Spectre. They were like Ernst Blofeld. They were like Goldfinger. That's how big, okay? It was an existential threat. And I'm not saying that it wasn't deserved. I'm not saying that, you know, that I don't want to call it mystique, but that whole, like I said, that whole intimidating galactic empire kind of vibe that those cats gave off, it was real, okay? They were just an existential threat to the United States as the Nazis or the Empire of Japan during the Second War. And what's worse, these guys fought against, they fought with us against those guys. Not that we were pals, but to employ a Stalinist maxim, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And with the nuclear proliferation that basically took place from the time that the Rosenbergs and Yakovlev and their KGB handlers got American nuclear weapon secrets to the Kremlin, you know, it's been nonstop. Okay, Salt 2, Salt 1, detente, everybody cuts back, everybody does away with their stores. They still made new ones all the time. They never really stopped. They may have slowed down on the new ones and held on to the older inventory just a little bit longer, but at some point that stuff becomes obsolescent and you have to get a new one. And they still got them. And the thing that's really scary, you want to be scared about something? They don't know where all their crap is. Their nuclear inventory, their warhead inventory. We don't even know how many are unaccounted for. Probably in the hundreds, maybe more. What does that mean? That means they can't find them or they don't have them. Now, if they can't find them, that's one thing. They're tucked away in some strategic reserve that was secret back in the days of Brezhnev, and then people kind of, you know, it was shunted off and closed up. Nobody ever thought about it anymore. They were just there and the place was closed down and they were never going to be used or whatever. Okay, that's one thing. Oh, hey, we found those 50 multiple independent reentry vehicle warheads for the, I don't know, Gagarin 3 rocket. It's not like that, okay? That's okay. Great. Glad you found them and thanks for the heads up. It's those ones that they don't know about, that they don't have, not that they can't account for or that they have misplaced, that they don't have. That some, you know, at the end of the Soviet Union, perestroika and glasnost was going on. and we saw the fall of the Berlin Wall, and eventually we saw the fall of the Soviet Union. Corruption in the military was rampant. Stuff got so old that you would not believe. Now, whether it works or not at this stage, how well it's been maintained or preserved is difficult to say. But there are nuclear warheads, and it's not a James Bond film, man. It's real. There are nuclear warheads out there that are unaccounted for that are in the hands of hostiles, of bad actors. There's something for you to be scared about. Scared poopless, because that's a real deal. That took us a little off base. But the point is, the Soviet Union was this huge, ominous thing. You know, it took up almost half the world, at least a third of it. It was oppressive. It was totalitarian. It was merciless. It was godless communism. Basically, from East Berlin to Japan, to the Sea of Japan. To Hong Kong. From East Berlin to Hong Kong was either through Russia or China under some vestige of communist control or influence. Now, that's freaking huge. And the Soviet Union and Russia are not the same thing. But Russia has a pretty impressive arsenal of nuclear weaponry, in spite of the stuff that got lost or got sold, because a lot of those military generals, you know, a lot of those Soviet nuclear defense forces were, they were corrupt. And they needed to feather that nest, man. So the right people, we'll sell it to them. Sure, why not? We'll just not be where they set it off, if they can even set it off, if they have the technique. So is the situation as it exists today as touchy as it ever was back in the late 1980s, early 1990s? I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Putin did put his nuclear forces on a heightened state of alert when this thing started. But he's been there for 5 days, almost 6 days. A military column stopped because they needed to have the lunch brought up. I mean, this thing's... They say it's 30 miles long, 30 or 40 miles long, this armored column that's, parked outside and getting ready to encircle Kiev. I got to wrap this up. And the drawdown is because they've got to feed the troops. Feed the troops. Like I said earlier, these guys have had military installations along the Ukrainian border for decades now. These guys don't move without field kitchens, and they sure as hell wouldn't move without field rations among the individual soldiers. 5 days. Maybe McGregor's right. He has a better handle on all this, and I'm sure his eye sees it much more keenly than mine. But it just seems to me, he's not coalition building. And he's had the forces, the force numbers there for years. And this plan has probably been worked out over years. I just don't understand why it's going so long. But again, I missed it completely. I said they weren't even going to invade. I'm not going to invade. Forget it. And I missed it. I missed it totally. Because my thinking was he wouldn't have to invade. He could play that game and get Biden and NATO all nervous and trigger happy and jumpy. And then when he comes, you know, he takes him to the brink, and it is brinksmanship. He takes him to the brink and then he pulls him back. And, you know, they're so relieved and patting themselves on the back because of their outstanding statesmanship and thinking that they're the ones who averted a nuclear war. They would happily accede what little territorial, you know, incursions Biden or Putin might have made. That's what I thought would happen. He wouldn't have to invade. He would just have to gesture, head fake, pick and roll. And maybe he will close it, but I just don't understand why it's taken so long. Anyway, that will be a question for another time because my time is up and it's time for the handsome one. El Guapo's going to be. This has been, I got to tell you, it's been like since I started these classes, Thursday nights have been tough for me to be on the air. And I'm bringing you up now, Guapo. And Mark and I haven't been able to do too many shows together this winter. And that's really kind of weird because we've been doing this for a long, long time together on Thursday nights. And it is now his time to step in. And I am going to step out. Ladies and gentlemen, the handsome one himself, El Guapo, Mark Hoffman. Hey, Mark, how is everything?
What's happening? Welcome back, my brother. Glad to have you on board again. It's been a long time. What is it, a month almost?
Yeah, and for us, that is a long time, man. You got a terrific show, and my time is up. I'm going to get out of here. I know you got your guest, Luis Valdez, coming on with the Gun Owners of America. I want to hear this story, so I'm going to get out of your way and let your people tell it. Terrific show, Mark, and I know it's going to be a good one. Take care.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's James Bostic and a conservative perspective heard here two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern. And we are glad to have him on board, always back on board. He took a little break, getting some schooling, some job training, you know, for his amazing career, doing great things with some great kids as a teacher. So that's awesome. And we have one hell of a show on tap for you guys tonight. One story that you will not believe is unbelievable. That's why you won't believe it. You know, so we are going to be talking with Luis Valdez and a couple others. I'm hoping that my friend James will be calling in. Yeah, it looks like he's there on the board and others. So we'll be talking about this crazy thing that happened where these folks went up to the Capitol in Tallahassee and was delivering some petitions. And they took off and they did a couple other things when they came back to speak to the representative who is holding up HB 103 constitutional carry bill here in Florida. They found that the petitions were tossed into the trash. That's right, folks, tossed in. And it's pretty amazing when stuff like that occurs. Unbelievable. So we're going to be back here.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, folks. Hold tight. We'll be back in 2 minutes with our featured guest, Luis Valdez, and James Cavett is going to join us, too, and maybe Pastor...
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
That's right, folks, and you heard it here, LibertyRush.com, you want to head out there as soon as you possibly can. They are, of course, giving social media without the libtarded rhetoric, which is always amazing. All right, so our guest is live today from Gun Owners of America. Ladies and gentlemen, let me see, I got to fetch through these lines here. Let's see. Yeah, I got to check my messages again to see which number it is. There's a lot of numbers on the board right now. And I'm going to check real quick. Okay. What number is this? All righty. I'm going to bring him up right now. He sent me the number in a message. There it is, ladies and germs. Without further ado, our featured guest, Mr. Luis Valdez, the Gun Owners of America. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. Sir, we got a very important message we want to deliver tonight, that we will not stand for this crap from our elected officials. Is that correct?
That is 110% correct. And first and foremost, thank you for having me on the air. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Real fast, give folks a little quick background on Gun Owners of America, your job there, what you're doing, and why you were up in Tallahassee, doing what you were doing and bringing this to everybody's attention.
So I am the Florida State Director for Gun Owners of America. We are the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington, D.C. and in Tallahassee, as well as your state capital, since we're a national organization. We were founded in 1976, the 200th anniversary of our nation, and we were the first gun rights-related political action committee to be formed. Yes, the first. I know a lot of people are going to think about, well, what about that other organization? They were a sports shooting organization in 1976. They weren't a political rights organization. Right. GOA is the first. So, as for my job, I'm the main go-to guy for GOA in Florida. I'm the registered lobbyist and professional cat herder, since, you know, dealing with politicians is pretty much that. It's herding cats. And we were in Tallahassee back on February 22nd. On the Triple Deuce 222 to have a rally for constitutional carry. And at every rally we do and every event I attend and speak at, I bring petitions for the crowds to sign. And we went into the Capitol with constitutional carry petitions, and we went to Representative Chuck Brannon's office. Now, for your listeners that don't know who he is a state representative in the Florida House of Representatives, and he is the chairman of the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Subcommittee, where currently right. House Bill 103, Constitutional Carry, is currently assigned. We delivered our petitions to him, and his legislative aide, in a very rude fashion, basically pointed at a desk and said, just leave him there. I'll get to him. I have another meeting. We were polite. We were, you know, respectful. We left them. We visited other lawmakers' offices. We returned in about 20, 30 minutes. Where did we find him? We didn't find him on the legislative aide's desk. We didn't find him on the representative's desk. No, we found him in the trash.
That's unbelievable. Now, you guys were able to fetch these out of the trash and make sure they were delivered still, correct?
Oh, we did more than that. So as we were documenting what was going on with them in the trash, the legislative aide literally rounded the corner, and we confronted him directly on that. And in a two-minute span, I haven't seen a person give me that different multiple answers in a very long time. And I say this as a guy that was a cop for 15 years dealing with people on the streets. You know, when you deal with a crackhead at 3 a.m., he'll give you multiple answers to one simple question. Well, the legislative aide gave me multiple answers to one simple question. Why are they in the trash? And his responses range from, well, I didn't mean to put them in there, to we asked, so you reviewed these with Representative? Well, yes. So Representative Brannon wanted them in the trash? Well, no, he didn't want them in the trash. So then why are they in the trash? Well, it was an accident. I meant to put something else there. The end result is the color literally drained from him. He was on the verge of possibly crying. And his answer was he grabbed the entire trash can and put it in Representative Brannon's office and closed the door.
Right. That's unbelievable. It's simply unbelievable. So what's the next step here? It seems today Governor DeSantis was asked directly at a press conference where he was standing on HB 103. And again, he's a desk and I sign it. He didn't actually come out and say, get that sucker on my desk as soon as possible. I want to sign it. You know, like this guy in I think a guy in Georgia did that way, right? Is that how he said it? That's how they got it signed?
So
I want it on my desk now.
So when comparing Georgia to Florida, Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia, prior to the start of their legislative session, he made it a campaign issue. He basically said, I want the legislature to pass this, and I want it to pass it. Governor DeSantis, though he has been very vocal on other freedom-related issues, he has been very silent for the most part on gun rights. At the start of our legislative session, the governor always gives the State of the State address, and he gave a very benign response in the, during that address. His response was basically, the Floridian Second Amendment rights are important, and any politician that isn't in favor of it is basically a problem. So he called out the anti-gun Republicans to a degree. Now, to give you a lot of background on what's going on here in Florida, Florida is a Republican supermajority state, has been for over 20 years. And it is
right.
That Republican supermajority that passed gun control in 2018 after the
red flag malarkey and the bump stocks.
Correct, and also an under 21 purchase ban. In Florida, if you're under the age of 21, you can't legally purchase a firearm.
Right.
So that's biggest issue right now
is... You can go to war at 18, but you can't buy a weapon to protect your family. Ridiculous.
Correct. So the biggest issue in Florida is a lot of those Republican legislators are still in office, and worse, the Senate president is the guy that wrote the bill. So the governor has been fighting a very hard fight on pretty much anything that is pro-freedom with the legislature. In 2018, 2019, the governor campaigned specifically on a mandatory e-verify bill that Florida-based businesses would verify immigration status of possible employees. And the Senate leadership gutted the bill back then because a lot of them are involved in agriculture, like the current Senate president, Wilton Simpson, a Republican, mind you.
Right.
He's big in
my district.
Yeah, he's big in agriculture. And Simpson gutted the bill for a reason, because he hires a lot of illegals, basically. I mean, we can't prove it, but if you know anything about anything Florida agricultural business, you know 9 out of 10 times the guy that they hire is an illegal, though, of course, it's never verified, so they're never in trouble for it.
Right.
And earlier this legislative session, another representative by the name of Michelle Salzman out of the Pensacola area up in the Panhandle, she had a meeting with a very good ally of ours, the Republican National Hispanic Assembly of Florida, and they brought up constitutional carry with her. And she said, oh, the Second Amendment's really important for me. You could park a Bradley in my yard. It's that critical. It's that special. It's my favorite amendment. And then when they asked her where, you know, on constitutional carry, she said, well, as a professional courtesy, I'm not going to go against the legislative leadership, because the legislative leadership is against the bill, because they backed the Parkland bill is their bill, and constitutional carry goes completely against that. So they're against it, which means I'm against it because I have to bring money to my district. Plus, the lawmaker that actually introduced constitutional carry, no one likes him, so I can't co-sponsor his bill because that would then look bad with the leadership, and the leadership would threaten me.
Right. You know, that's why I love Anthony Sabatini. And he's going to be great when he gets up to Congress. And we got a lot of other good people. I got the live feed behind me is my friend Pastor Jack Martin. He's running for Congress. And he's got a good shot this time because our congressman in our district is a clown. We're going to get these people to team up with Marjorie Taylor Greene and her friend who's heckling the president at the State of the Union. God bless those two ladies for standing up and heckling and saying stuff and remembering the 13 draped coffins that Joe Biden is responsible for. God bless them. We need to get more people like this up in the Congress. But we need more people like Anthony Sabatini on the local level. And these guys despise him because he stands up for freedom. That's what it seems like.
Oh, well, that's pretty much it. You have a Republican establishment that for the most part is anti-gun, for the most part is very crony capitalism. You know, they're in favor of cronyism and quid pro quo deals with certain financial and business institutions within the state. But when it actually comes to promoting and protecting the real Floridians' independence and liberty and individual rights, they do nothing in favor of that. Right now, for example, they're looking to push a bill that would basically state that property managers can't enter apartments without a background check and things of that sort, because last year you had an incident where a property manager entered someone's apartment and killed the poor woman, the 19-year-old woman. Now,
right.
You know, here's my simple solution to that. Instead of demanding more background checks for property managers, hey, how about we repeal the gun control that was passed in 18 and let that 19-year-old and every other 19-year-old woman in the state of Florida legally purchase a firearm so they could defend themselves? Because,
amen.
But in Florida, again, just to reiterate, so the governor today in Panama City said he was asked on constitutional care, and he says, oh, I'd sign it. I'd be happy to sign it. Send it to my desk. And that is the first time that Governor DeSantis has specifically, publicly stated any support for constitutional carry. And this is actually a big win because
just
recently we sent out an alert on what happened with Representative Brannon. And we specifically mentioned in our alert, look, you guys need to call the governor. The legislature is not going to move forward unless the governor specifically tells them to. And we are not wanting to negatively criticize the governor on this, but this is the honest reality. The governor is the Republican figurehead of the political establishment in Florida. If you have a Republican legislature, if you have a Republican lawmaker's office literally throwing away petitions, which, again, petitions are First Amendments in action. You know, you have Floridians exercising their First Amendment, petition their government to address grievances, and they're literally throwing those petitions away when those petitions are about the Second Amendment, constitutional carry. That looks negatively upon Governor DeSantis, no more, no less. He is the governor. The buck stops with him. And we told our members, call and email the governor's office. Put pressure on him and let him know that you do not approve of Florida lawmakers doing this under his administration, because ultimately what they do, he will be judged for and, more importantly, remembered for, especially in 2024 if he wants to run for president.
And I hope he don't run for president in 2024, because we need him here in Florida for another 4 years. I'm aiming for 2028. And Donald Trump running the next election to get this ball rolling. That's all we can hope for.
I would love for DeSantis to stay in office for the next solid 4 years, but no matter what, DeSantis, if he wins re-election, which I really do think he'll win in 2022, he's out in 2026.
Yep.
So no matter what, he's gone half. You know, he's gone in the next 4 years. As Floridians, as gun owners, as patriots, as constitutionalists, we need to put the pressure on the governor now. We don't need to put the pressure on him next week. We need to put the pressure on him now, up to and including that anyone listening in Florida or even near Florida, especially Tallahassee, we are trying. It's an impromptu. It's very suddenly rushed. But we're going to try to show support for the governor this coming Monday, March 7th at 12 noon at the Florida State Capitol, supporting him and his statements for constitutional carry. And we want to let the legislative leadership know that this is what Floridians want, and Floridians back the governor's response on this.
Yep. Hey, I got another friend of ours, James Cavetta. He's on hold right now. And I also have the guy who's just been all over the place. I mean, I think he's logged at least 50,000 miles on this motorcycle that he has now, traveling across this great country in this great state of Florida, supporting and standing up for constitutional principles and freedom and liberty in America. George Colella, Bikers for 45. He's going to come on in a couple of minutes and tell us about the convoy. Folks, there's a convoy that is going on right now. And, he's going to come on, and they're going to be escorting the Florida leg of the convoy that's heading up to D.C., heading out this weekend. And he's going to come on here shortly. But I'm going to bring James in real fast. George, please stay right there with you. We're going to bring you in a couple minutes. I got to bring James in. Because he's really dying to say some things. He's fired up about this. These petitions hitting the trash can, and he's run for a couple of offices.
Question
he's
six
a real...
seven to fill up the car, the truck.
Oh, that's George. Sorry. Hey, George. Well, we're going to do George first. Ladies and gentlemen,
oh,
George Colella for 45. Sorry, James. Hold on, James. We'll bring in a minute. James Cavetta. What's happening, George?
Not bad. What's going on, brother?
We're talking about this crap that's going on in Tallahassee. You know, who knows if these guys are throwing petitions on all bills that they don't agree with into the trash.
Yeah, we got to install some security cameras.
Yeah.
We got to pay the FBI to put cameras in for us. That's what we got to do. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it, you know. Just ask President Trump.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I can't believe that story that they dumped those petitions. Unbelievable. But... anyway,
there's a video. I had posted the video a couple times. I shared it around in my messenger. There is a video that these guys did. Lewis, where can folks see that video if they want to check it out for themselves? Because it's pretty incredible.
The best two sources right now is there's two GOA-affiliated shows on YouTube, Legally Armed America and Guns and Gadgets. They've both covered this, along with John Crump News. They all have video footage of what's exactly happened at the Capitol.
So right. Legal, what was that again? Legal what?
Legally Armed America.
Okay, gotcha.
Legally Armed America on YouTube, folks. Check that out, and you can see this video.
Yeah, I'll share
this guy. Getting, the petition's in the trash and then trying to get away and just fumbling around trying to make excuses as to why they're in the trash. Why are these in the trash? I don't know. It was an accident. So your boy, and he's fumbling around. He can't even figure out what he's going to say. But let's talk real fast about the convoy and what's happening out of Florida.
All right. Yep. Well, here's the story. What's going on is it's known as the America Freedom Truckers. And they started out in California. The guy that's running it's Kip. I've been on Zoom calls with them a couple of weeks. So, and what happened is they're coming across 10 and picking up a whole bunch of truckers on the way. There was a convoy coming out of Spokane, Washington, meeting guys in Cincinnati. And that's one convoy coming out going south. And then another one coming out of Columbus, Ohio. And they're coming along 10, and they're going to get off this exit where 301 and I-10 meet, right? 301 and I-10. It's known as Baldwin, Florida. It's right before Jacksonville. And there's a truck stop there called a TA Welcoming Center. It's one of the biggest ones that they can welcome a lot of trailers that are coming down. They'll be there about, they're going to get there like about 8 o'clock in the morning, the local truckers. But the convoy is going to be there between 2 and 4. The convoy coming in from the West Coast and right along 10. So, and then what they're going to do after that, about 5 o'clock, they're going to pull out and go to Brunswick, Georgia, where there's a big, brand-new truck location there. And They're going to rest there, leave the next morning, and head to Washington, D.C. Well, they're not going to go to Washington, D.C. itself. They're going to do the Beltway. And
right.
That's what they're going to do. And they're going to, just, you know, like the circle the Indians. That's what they're going to
right.
do. They just go around the Beltway covering, you know, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, and Delaware.
Excellent. And I think
so
it's amazing that actually putting forth their fortune and that, you know, just like our forefathers did when they fought the revolution, people are giving up and sacrificing their homes, their fortune,
well, yeah.
everything.
Well, a lot of people don't understand that out of the 13 colonies, only 3% did the fighting. Everybody else
right.
was agreeing with the British. And you know, that's where that 3% came from. I mean, people don't understand
yes,
the history, how bad it is. So,
yep.
you know.
Yeah, I was reading, you know, every once in a while I read the Declaration of Independence, you know, because I just do that from time to time. It's the Patriot Nation radio show. We fly the flag, you know, we stand for the flag and kneel for the cross. And that's what we do,
well,
you know. We honor America. We love our country.
We're born a ride for 45, and most of my guys are all constitutionalists. We believe in the Constitution. And that's our main objective. I mean, our country is very important to us. So.
But if you read that document, you read the Declaration of Independence,
yep.
and you see what their grievances were against King George, what's happening now overshadows anything they had a revolution over.
But, here's a question for you. How many times did Biden swear on the Constitution they still ain't got it right?
Yeah,
nine times.
His oath 7 years, 48 years now. Damn near 50
No, but I'm saying
guys.
he took an oath on the Constitution nine times, six times as senator, twice as
right.
vice president, and one time president. And he still doesn't have a
right.
right.
I'm saying he's been violating his oath
everything,
for 47,
everything,
48
right.
years, his whole career, since he first became a politician. I swear an oath to protect and defend the Constitution unless it gets in my way of my political agenda.
Hey, did you hear what my girl did, Laura Babbitt, Barbette? She screamed out, what about the 13th?
Yeah,
at the State of the Union.
I mentioned that earlier in the show. There's the 13 coffin-draped flags that he's responsible for. The blood is on
yep.
his hands.
Mm-hmm. And she yelled it out.
$5 worth of military equipment left in the desert for the enemy to reverse engineer and learn how it works and get off secret weapons, things that nobody else has. They now have $85 million worth of it. Sheesh. You know, they don't mention that on the damn State of the Union, did he? Thank God we got Marjorie Taylor Greene and that other nice lady Bulbert there. We need more like that. That's why we need Pastor Jack up in there. We need Anthony Sabatini up there to join forces with these people and Matt Gaetz and really start pushing America first because we're first. You know, we're number one, people. We've got to maintain.
Well, we're actually being invaded. I mean, they tell you, I was down at the border, and they lie to us constantly. I've been down to Arizona.
Yeah.
I had some of my guys go down to Texas, and it's just the trees that they have that with the hanging underwears about the raping of the children and stuff like that. I mean, I met Tom Homan. You know who Tom Homan is, right? The guy that was in charge of the Border Patrol with President Trump. And he said
yep.
One girl, she was 12 years old and had 22 different DNAs in her. That means she was raped 22 times.
Christ. And this is what they're letting in. And the fentanyl
yep.
and all this other stuff.
Yep.
Crazy.
It's a $150 billion industry.
Okay.
Fentanyl's coming in. Killed 150,000 Americans already. I mean, it's just,
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Sorry, George, it's the bottom of the hour. It's Patriot Nation Radio.
No,
show.
No, it's okay.
We got our
no
good
problem.
Friend George Colano on the line. His crew is doing great things, escorting convoys and putting wreaths on every headstone for wreaths across America at Christmas time. zigzagging across the state, up and down the coast, and everywhere there's rallies and things for patriotism and freedom and liberty and American.
Yeah, my motorcycle, I'm up to 120,000 miles since I started with Trump. Put that one.
120,000 miles. 120,000.
Louis
Valdez, from Governor of America, on the line, and we have our friend. He's going to be joining us here in just 1 second. He comes on the show from time to time. He's a good friend of mine from around the corner, James Cavetta. Let him say hello real fast, and then we'll get back to George. Say hello, James, to George and Louis.
Hey, James, how you doing?
How's it going? Hey, Louis.
Hey, how's everything going on your end?
Oh, man, I have been pissed. I have been on the phone and contacting as many news agencies and sharing stuff. When I saw that video at that day that me and Pastor Jack, we all put our time, our money, our effort, and going up to Tallahassee, and they can't even give us the courtesy, the decency to take our petitions and read them, you know, and then to see them in the garbage pail, that was just something. Is that what they really think of us? We the little people, you know, we really count for a lot, and you know, they act like gods. I mean, I felt the attitude to some of them that day. They were looking at us like, hey, who let these little people in our castle today? You know, and it's got to stop. And Mark knows. Yeah. I've been saying this since 2012. And nobody listens.
Yep.
If we don't stop electing politicians and start electing patriots across the board, this crap is never going to stop. And that's why, like guys like Pastor Jack, myself, and there are others out there who are not politicians, but we're always up against this big political machine. I agree with Louis. I've been after the governor. I blame him, okay, because he's the one who's not pushing for it. He seems like he's taken, no, I'm wrong, he's the best governor we've had in the 35 years I've been in Florida. But on this particular issue, he's just saying, well, if it comes across my desk, I'll sign it. Well, that's not good enough because, as Louis knows better than I do, the 22 other states that have constitutional carry, and I think Georgia's legislature just passed it Friday night, their governors said, I want this on my desk. So we got to get after the governor because, like I said, he's the captain of the team. He didn't throw our petitions in the paper, but people who work for him underneath there, they did it. If Mark lets me, I'd like to give the governor's phone number and that people out there and urge their friends and do like – see, I'm shadow banned on Facebook, so I went from 1,000 viewers to down to about 20. So my sharing doesn't work as good as it used to. But I urge other people to – this is our – we got them. And like Ron Emanuel used to say, never let a good crisis go to waste. We got them now. Let's do like they do. Get the gasoline out and pour it on this fire and get this spark really going because this should cut across party lines. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever your bill that you're fighting for. I mean, hell, even if it was a bill that I despised and I didn't want it, I wanted to be able to come to the floor for a vote. And these people are acting like gods. These few representatives we have the power to block a bill. And that is wrong. It needs to come to the floor for a vote one way or another. And I remember, Louis, I spoke to that aide that day. And I remember he was like all acting so scared and everything. And I said, hey, we just want you to give these to your boss, and we want this bill to come to the floor for a vote. And I even said in the hallway, never thinking, I was joking, I bet you they throw that stuff in the garbage. And when I saw that, I remember
when he said that, and we were like, nah, they're not going to do it. They're not going to be that mean. They'll throw it in the shredder after
And the joke was on us. But also, we need to get after, for people in Hernando County, I want to give our state representative is Blaze Ingolia. That's Blaze Ingolia. Now, he has an A-plus rating with the NRA, and I know he's a gun person because, I mean, I know him personally. He lives here in our neighborhood. But he's like others, in my opinion, and I will tell him to his face when I see him, he's taken the easy way out because why didn't he co-sign this bill with Anthony Sabatini? He hasn't said anything. The great Wilton Simpson, who's certainly no friend of gun owners, all of a sudden now, because he's running for agriculture commissioner, I'll vote for it. But, you know, he's nothing but a hypocrite. He's the deciding vote. And, Lewis, you correct me if I'm wrong. When that Parkland shooting came and that bill came with the three-day wait, the 21 years of age, the red flag laws, I believe he was the deciding vote. If he voted no, that Governor Scott could have never signed that bill into law. So
he wasn't one of the deciding votes. He was the bill author. He's the guy
okay,
that actually
all right.
Attended.
So, like I said, so he's not a friend of ours, but we need to get after him, get after your state representative, whoever it is. Like I said, Wilton Simpson's our state senator here. Blazing Goley is our state rep. Get after your own, and mainly get after Ron DeSantis. Because, again, like I said, it's a shame. He's a great governor, but he's dragging on this issue. And I called his office several times already. I printed up on my own money. I took the petition from the Gun Owners of America, and I made 1,000 copies of that, and I've been bringing it to all the different groups around here and urging people to sign it, mail it into the governor. I didn't do it to the other two reps because, they'll go in the garbage pail, but I want it to the governor. I think, and again, Lewis, you're the expert, because I want to make this clear. I am not speaking for Gun Owners of America. I'm not speaking for the National Association of Gun Rights, and I certainly ain't hell speaking for the National Rifle Association because I don't have much use for them. They disappeared, and I'm a lifetime benefactor member with them, but they turned out to be nothing but a bunch of overpaid, high-powered executives who just kind of like disappeared. So these are my own views, my own thoughts, you know, this HB 103, if we don't get it now in this session, and I think it ends probably in a couple more weeks, we're not going to get it.
So here's the deal legislatively. As of right now, we have 9 days left in session. Session ends on March 11th. But this is the situation. We could petition the governor to call for a special session.
Okay.
Constitutional carry specifically brought up, because if you remember, the governor has already called for a special session for the vaccine mandates issues.
Yes.
And he also brought up a special session for the gambling compact with the Seminole Indian tribe.
Okay,
so
I remember that.
He is not afraid of using that power granted to him by the state constitution. And as for the people that need to be called, there's three people that need to be called, and these are actually all public numbers, so anyone could look them up. Us giving them over the air, it's not like, oh, God, we're giving someone's, you know, private phone number. But
right,
these are the
right,
three
right.
phone numbers people need to call. One is the current House Speaker, Chris Sprawls, at 850-717-5000. Wilton Simpson, the Senate President, he's 850-487-5229. Now, with both of those, they're the legislative leadership. You guys, your listeners need to have those phones ring off the hook tomorrow, starting at 9 a.m., going all the way to 5 p.m., and they need to tell those two, we want constitutional carry passed now. But additionally, this is where the governor comes in, because, again, the governor can call for a special session. His phone number is 850-717-9337. And your listeners, when they call him, the best thing to do is tell them that they back him for calling for constitutional carry, but more importantly, they want him to call for a special session on constitutional carry if it does not pass this regular session. That is the power that your listeners have. And this is the truth, because this is how we got it passed in Texas. We didn't get it passed in Texas by hobnobbing with the powerful and the elite. We did it through grassroots activism. We did it through folks like you. And just to give you an idea of who backs constitutional carry in Florida right now, I just got last week the Miami-Dade Republican Party to pass a resolution in support of constitutional carry. Now, just think about it. Miami-Dade, one of the bluest Republican areas in the state. You know, everyone thinks of a Miami Republican as a North Florida Democrat.
Right.
So for Miami to back constitutional carry, that says a lot, but it's not just Miami. You have Bay County. You have Gulf County. You have St. John's County. You have Seminole County. You have Suwanee County, Indian River County, Manatee County, Hillsborough County.
Nice.
You have the Florida Republican Assembly. You have the New Tampa Republican Club. You have the Republican Liberty Caucus of Florida. You have the National Republican Hispanic Assembly backing constitutional carry. This is an issue across the board.
Right,
people
right. You like that day, Lewis? The crowd
I got George is on the phone. He was talking. I didn't expect it to run off the rails this far, but George was getting ready to tell us something right before you came on in reference to the convoy and what's happening. Because that's what we were hitting on right quick. George.
Yeah, what's up?
If people want to help out, is there a site where folks can go and, you know, donate?
Well, I put a list on my page. My page is public. Under George Colola, C like Charles, O like Over, L like Larry, E like Echo, Larry Apple. And it's my page is public. And there's a list on there if you want to bring supplies up. Because it's a lot of guys, a lot of truckers from Florida decided to go up themselves without joining convoys. I called about 150 truckers that had Florida numbers so I could get in touch and find out where they went. And some of them left. They went straight up. So there might be some trucks coming up. I have no idea unless they join the put their name on the list. There might be truckers going up. They know that. They know the meeting point where it's going to be at that TA Welcome Center on in Baldwin, right outside of Jacksonville. It's where 301 and I-10 meet, and it's right there, and that's where they're going to meet everybody. And the convoy that's coming along from California on I-10, which they hit Arizona and all the other states, they will be coming to that meeting point. So it's going to be big. There's a lot of trouble. Don't be surprised. It's like 15,000 trailers, RVs, trucks.
Now, just one convoy, I believe it's the one coming out of California, is at least 7,000 vehicles and 30 miles long. That's what I heard.
Yep. I say by the end they pick up everybody because they're picking more truckers up in Georgia, more in South Carolina, North Carolina as they're going up. So they're all waiting by these rest stop areas. So you got the People's Convoy up there already. Not in Washington, but I think they're down in North Carolina, I believe. And this one's coming up from down here. So it's going to be a, as they say, a cluster thing. I don't want to say the other word, but it's going to be something else because what they're going to do is just travel around the Beltway. They're not going to go into Washington at all. They're going to have a detail of senators and congressmen that are going to escort some of the drivers and meet in front of the committee to tell them that they want the open borders closed and the pipeline reinstated. And they want everybody wants their freedom back. So the biggest delivery they're going to make, all these truckers, is going to be our freedom. So that's what's going to be the most important thing. We just got to pray. And like I said, I put the list on. They want water, toiletries, garbage bags, beef jerky, you know, some canned goods, those little pineapple cups. Then we find out that the pineapple, little pineapple cups, pineapple, they come out of China. I picked a couple up. I just put them back on the shelf today. They're coming from China. Oh my God, I can't believe this. You know, if you go back to, I think it was 2016 or 2015 on YouTube, put in China Takes Over the World, and this videotape comes up with the Chinese guy talking to all the students and how they're going to take over America. And they came out with that video at 2015, I believe. It's on YouTube.
Unfolding right before our very eyes.
Yep.
Holy man.
Yep.
Back to
unbelievable.
I think that.
You know what our biggest problem was? We had, And this is what happened with our founding fathers. They did God. God created man. Man created society. And society created government. And what we did is made government higher than God, number one, instead of making that the government does not control the states. Every state is a sovereign state. The states can tell the government what to do. And what they could do is, if they present a bill to Ron DeSantis, Governor Ron DeSantis, and say, you got to pay us $35 million. And Ron DeSantis says, well, what am I paying $35 million? Well, you got to pay $10 million to Medicare, $5 million to there, $7 million to Honduras. Well, hold on. We ain't paying Honduras. He could actually, because of the sovereignty of our state, he could actually tell them, no, he doesn't want to pay for those. He could have a breakdown of the bill. Every state could do that. It's unbelievable. If you read that Constitution, it's got a lot of good words in it.
The power of the Tenth Amendment.
I'm sorry I'm preaching right now. So.
You know, we got one right here. I always have one quick. Folks, you need to get one. I have constitutions in the car. I have constitutions on the wall. I have constitutions wherever.
If they private message me their address, I will mail them one for free. Go on, message me privately, give me your address, and I'll mail it to you for free. I got 100 books right here.
So there you go, folks. George Colella, find him on Facebook, send him a private message, and he will mail you a constitution. It's important
free.
To understand this document.
It's 47 pages long.
How important is the Constitution to gun owners of America?
The Constitution is very important to gun owners of America. Just to give you an idea, our ally that I spoke about earlier, the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, they were attacked for exercising their First Amendment rights, and we publicly came up and defended them on the First Amendment because it's interlinked. I mean, the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, your Fourth Amendment and your Fifth Amendment rights, they're all interlinked. I mean, it's a social web of rights. If one is attacked, they're all attacked. And
it's the Second Amendment was created to protect the First Amendment.
Exactly.
And I always felt the Founding Fathers made one mistake with the Constitution. Otherwise, it's a perfect document. But the Second Amendment should have been the First Amendment, because without the Second, the rest don't mean nothing.
That's right. Yeah, well. That's why they did it, and it helped. Okay. But the problem is people are not educated enough, and that's what our main problem is, because everybody thinks the government is the one that's in charge, it's the states that are in charge. We the people delegate delegates to be of our representatives, which are the state, and the state has the power. It's in the Constitution. Everyone is a sovereign state.
Yep.
And they have the power to tell them. The government is supposed to oversee the laws and make sure that they're being taken care of, but they're not allowed to tell the states what to do. It's in the Constitution.
Right.
That's the main problem is people, the education of people. So what happened is instead of putting God as our priority, I'm not getting into preaching, but we put our government as priority, and that we made them in control of us, which was wrong. And what happened is because the people became complicit, everything is fine, you know, no big deal. And look what happened. They started socialism in 1860. That's when they started socialism. How much more time I got? Anyway, but what happened is what they did, believe it or not, they created the American flag as an ideology, okay? They took, because God was so much in the schools and they're reading the Bible, the socialist says, we got to create something that's very important to people because everybody loved the American flag. So what they did is they concentrated on the flag. They did the pledge because in 1954, Eisenhower installed One Nation Under God. It was never in there until that time. But that's why he insists on putting it in there.
Right.
And then the rest is history.
Hey, I got my friend all the way from New Zealand, Mandy. She's checking out the show. She's a great patriot herself over there in New Zealand.
We got some people down
there. I opened up my constitution that I keep here on, for the show, and the Tenth Amendment is actually checked off with a red check and highlighted in yellow. And it's the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively to the people. So basically, we're supposed to be the ones in charge, you know?
Yeah, and he's not supposed to drop all these illegals in all these states, because what he's doing in Article 4, Paragraph 4, he's supposed to protect our sovereignty from invasion. And what he's doing, placing all these things, that's why I said he swore on his Constitution 9 times, and he still ain't got it right. And they don't care about it. They all swear on it. They think it's a big joke. They don't understand what they're swearing. So, I mean, this is big. People don't know how important it is, and we got to educate everybody. I'll educate anybody, whoever wants. Go on. When I do a Facebook Live, I'll talk about it. I can have a class on that. Very important. It's got to be done.
I did Constitution 101 I did Constitution 101 on the Patriot Nation radio show with a constitutional scholar. Her name was Shaw. And we went article by article, amendment by amendment, until about the time Lavoie Finicum was murdered, and then kind of went off the rails from there. There was a lot of other things going on, and Constitution 101 wasn't one of them. I want to get back here now, George. I want to thank you so much for coming on.
All right, brother. Take care. Thanks again. I appreciate the time. I'm sorry to talk everybody's ears off, but keep on fighting for that. Our Constitution and our carry there with the legislation that sucked, period.
Always.
Yeah. And thank you very much for taking care of that. It's very important.
Okay, good night,
everybody. God bless everybody. Yep. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye.
God bless, George. Ladies and gentlemen, George, you want to check him out on Facebook, find him, private message him, and he'll mail you a Constitution right to your mailbox. That's amazing stuff. There's people fighting for this nation. Folks, what folks don't seem to realize is basically we are at or in a civil war already. There just hasn't, and folks say, well, there hasn't been any shots fired, thank God, but shots have been fired. Lavoie Finicum being one of the political people, patriots, murdered at the hands of the FBI in a snowbank in Oregon 5 years ago already. Geez, 6 years ago. Time's flying by. It's unbelievable. The gentleman was murdered on my birthday, so I'll never forget. And I was watching, you know, everybody's watching. We were watching that. That was something that everybody's paying attention to, because that was before Facebook squashed everybody. Now you can't watch nothing. You know, I don't get any news across my feed anymore. All news is gone off my feed. If I want to find any information, I got to go find it. It doesn't come across my pages. So, you know, I get all my information now through folks who send me stuff in Messenger. And they send me things, and then I can go, oh, well, let me look into that. You know, it's really, they are squashing the conservative voice almost 100% right now on Facebook. You cannot get any answers, anything out there. It's really hard. Like James said, I used to have 13, 15,000 listeners, viewers on Facebook Live. I'm looking at it right now. 3. What? Sheesh.
Yep, I get the same thing.
It's unbelievable. They just chop us out at the knees. But, you know, I always said, if one person...
Commie book at work.
You know, if one person's listening, I'm going to speak. I mean, if one person can tell 2 people, and then they can tell 5 people, and whatever it takes, you got to keep talking. You got to keep spreading the message of freedom, liberty, and the American way. Reagan had it best when he said, you know, freedom's only one generation away. That's it, one generation. And here we are, facing up.
We got to stop looking for leaders and be leaders ourselves. That's what the thing is.
Our founders gave us 4 boxes. They gave us the soapbox, the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. And I pray every day that we exercise the first 3 boxes so we never have to get to the 4th box. And sadly, the biggest issue we have is our government is a representative government. And all of those slime balls that we have in office, they're partially there because of us, the people. The American people need to look at themselves in the mirror and realize that they're partially the reason why we have people like Chuck Bannon in the State House, or we have Nancy Pelosi in Congress.
Yep.
It's that's the truth.
It is because they don't get there. People vote. They vote for them. They vote name recognition. The people are not good voters. They vote for the weirdest reasons, but instead of vetting the candidate and find out exactly what that candidate stands for on every issue, and that's hard because politicians will not tell you where they stand on every issue. They'll tell you what they think they you want to hear. But it's your job, it's our job to vet your candidates. And again, I'll say it again and again, stop electing politicians and start electing patriots. Don't listen to what a candidate gets up there and says, well, you know, when I was 12 years old, I was an altar boy and I did that and I did this and I was this. That don't mean a damn thing. What are you going to do now? Everybody tells you, well, they were a doctor, they were a lawyer, that they were a cop, they were a military man. Oh, great, I take my hat off to that. But that does not make you a good state representative, a good senator, a congressman, a mayor, a city councilman, a county commissioner. That doesn't make you good at that. People got to ask their candidates, what are you going to do about this particular issue and that particular issue? And until they start vetting candidates and stop voting, why do we have year, term after term, whether it's on the federal level, the state level, or your local county level or city, the same politics? Mark knows how Hernando County works. You get in, you either die, retire, or move up the ladder. That's it. We're our own worst enemy. So people, get out there. The governor's number again is 850-717-9337, and it's HB 103. You want him to support HB 103, and also we should have call for the firing of State Representative Chuck Brannon and his aide for doing that horrible, disgraceful thing about throwing those petitions in the garbage pail. And I'll let Lewis, because he's the expert, close out the show on that. Lewis, it was a pleasure seeing you that day and working with you, meeting you for the first time. Me and Jack enjoyed the day. I urge all your listeners, Gun Owners of America and the National Association of Gun Rights is where it's at. Forget the NRA, okay? Thank you for hearing me. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
For you residents in Hernando County, you do know that your sheriff, Al, I can never pronounce his last name right. I believe it's
Al Niehaus, yeah. What a sheriff.
He publicly stated he's against open carry, and he will be running the Florida Sheriff's Association.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how it works, because let me tell you something. He's a political appointee. People look this up. I was so against him this time. I had my friend James Terry was running for sheriff because he was amazing. He started as a deputy, worked his way up to third in command as the major. But again, in this county, they voted it. People don't know. Al Niehaus has never been a cop one day in his life. He was a state liquor license inspector who got appointed by the governor at that time. I think it was Charlie Crist. And we had a couple of state representatives. And Bob White was his boss in the state liquor license thing, and Bob White became sheriff. Next day, a phone call. Al Niehaus is second command in Pasco. There was a problem up here with one of Rich Nugent was our sheriff. He went, another political appointee went to the Congress. And make a long, long story short, Al Niehaus, yes, now he's moving up to be the head of that association. But I tell people, you have a guy who wears a sheriff's uniform, and in the state of Florida, you do not have to have been law enforcement to be a sheriff. That's another disgrace. So watch out. There'll probably be a couple of deputy cars in front of my house tonight, but I don't care. I've been saying it anyway.
I got to wrap up.
All right, guys.
Good night, everybody.
All right, take care.
Great show.
Hang on. You're going to put Dave Bray on, right?
Yeah, I'm going to play the Star Spangled Banner here in a minute.
Yeah, okay. I'm here.
Yeah, you can stay on, James. I'm going to probably put you back in the green room, and it's the best place to listen anyway.
Okay, good.
All right. If folks want to help and get a petition or something going, Lewis, how can they get involved?
Again, the best thing that they could do right now is they could call the governor's office. they could call Representative Sabatini, or not Representative Sabatini, House Speaker Chris Sprawls and the Senate President. And again, those phone numbers are the following. Let me get them up here. I just had it here a second ago and just lost it. House Speaker Chris Paul's phone number is 850-717-5000. The Senate President Wilton Simpson is 850-487-5229. Your listeners need to call and demand that constitutional carry be brought up for a vote. And in regards to the governor's phone number is, sorry, my throat's not doing well, getting over a cold, 850-717-9337. Your listeners, again, could call and tell them that they support him for supporting constitutional carry, but more importantly, that if it doesn't pass this legislative session, the governor can call for a special session specifically for constitutional carry. And if they want to join GOA, it's real simple. It's just $25 a year. Gunowners.org/join. $25 a year. You get up-to-the-minute updates through our email alert system, both on the national and state level.
Excellent. I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. And if you want to stick around and hear this amazing version of this awesome tune, you're more than welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show, heard here Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern on the blog, on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Tune in next Thursday, 8 p.m., right after Conservative Perspective. And don't forget, American Allegiance Show with Kevin White, Wednesday, 7 p.m., right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We don't want to forget that. And, of course, our friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. You want to check out, get some merchandise, get some music. And you can get this version of this amazing song. This is the Star Spangled Banner as performed by Dave Bray, Dave Bray USA. Folks, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night. God bless my. I don't know if I have a show next week. I have family coming in for my father-in-law's memorial. And I want to say congratulations to Dan and Christy, that are two good friends of ours, are engaged to be married. And may God bless each and every one of you. Pray, humble yourselves, and bring God back to this nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Until we meet again, folks, good night. And God bless America, and God bless you. Peace.